Jai Jai Shri Chaitanya Jai Vijayananda Jai Advaita Chandra Jai Gaurabhakta Vrinda Jai Jai Shri Chaitanya Jai Vijayananda Jai Advaita Chandra Jai Gaurabhakta Vrinda Jai Jai Shri Chaitanya Jai Nityananda Jai Advaita Chandra Jai Gaurabhakta Vrinda So today is a very sacred occasion of the appearance anniversary of Sri Advaita Acharya from the Panchatantra. So let us read first of all from Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, Adi Lila chapter 6, the glories of Sri Advaita Acharya. Because here we find the description of the position of the Advaita Acharya, which is a little complex. We gave some idea yesterday, but there are also there are some sort of subtleties and complexities involved. So we'll read that, and we'll mention perhaps a pastime or two of Advaita Acharya, and then we'll read from the 12th chapter of the Adi Lila some very important philosophical points arising from Advaita Acharya, his pastimes, and actually his family members. So we'll start reading with text 1 of chapter 6 of the Adi Lila, Chaitanya Charitamrita, the glories of Sri Advaita Acharya. Vandetam Sri Madhavaita, Charya Adbhuta Cheshtitam, Yasya Prasada Akyopi, Tatsvarupam Nirupayet. I offer my respectful obeisances to Sri Advaita Acharya, whose activities are all wonderful. By his mercy, even a foolish person can describe his characteristics. Jai Jai Shri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda Jaya Advaita Chandra Jaya Gaurabhakta Vrinda. All glories to Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. All glories to Lord Nityananda. All glories to Advaita Acharya. And all glories to all the devotees of Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Mahavishnur Jagatkarta, Mayaya Ya Sri Jagatida, Tasyavatara Emayam, Advaita Acharya Ishvara. Lord Advaita Acharya is the incarnation of Mahavishnu, whose main function is to create the cosmic world through the actions of Maya. You may possibly recognize this verse. This is verse 12 of the first chapter, the first of the two verses we read yesterday afternoon, which are the two very foundational definitive verses describing the position of the Advaita Acharya, and the following verses, the second verse, two verses. Advaita Maharinadvaita Acharya Bhakti Samshadat Bhaktavatara Mishantam Advaita Acharya Ashraya. Because he's not different from Hari, the Supreme Lord, he is called Advaita. And because he propagates the cult of devotion, he is called Acharya. He is the Lord, and the incarnation of the Lord's devotee. Therefore, I take shelter of him. So we'll read a few verses here, which are describing the position of the Vajra Acharya. A Vajra Acharya gosani saksha ishvara yanhara mahima nane jivera gochara. Sri Vajra Acharya is indeed directly the Supreme Personality of Godhead himself. His glory is beyond the conception of ordinary living beings. Mahavishnu Srishti Karena Jagat Agni Karya Tanya Avatara Sakshat Advaita Acharya. Mahavishnu performs all the functions for the creation of the universes. Sri Advaita Acharya is his direct incarnation. Ye Purusha Srishti Siti Karena Mayaya Ananta Brahmanda Srishti Karena Lilaya. That Purusha creates and maintains with his external energy. He creates innumerable universes in his pastimes. Ishaya Ananta Murti Karena Prakasha Eka Eka Murte Karena Brahmande Pravesha. By his will, he manifests himself in unlimited forms in which he enters each and every universe. In other words, he expands as Gavadaksha Vishnu into all the innumerable universes which have expanded from his body, the body of Mahavishnu. Sayaburu Shira Ansai Veda Nani Kichu Veda Shavira Vishesha Tantra Nani Ka Vicheda. Sri Advaita Acharya is a plenary part of that Purusha, and so is not different from him. Is a plenary part, which basically means a complete part of Mahavishnu, and so is not different from him. Indeed, Sri Advaita Acharya is not separate, but is another form of that Purusha. Sahaya Karena Tanna Laya Pradana Koti Brahmanda Karena Ichaya Nirmana. He, Advaita Acharya, helps in the pastimes of the Purusha, with whose material energy and by whose will he creates innumerable universes. Jagat Mangala Advaita Mangala Dhamma, Mangala Charitra Sada Sada Mangala Yadra Nama. Being a reservoir of all auspicious attributes, Sri Advaita Acharya is all auspicious for the world. His characteristics, activities, and name are always auspicious. Koti Ansha Koti Shakti Koti Avatara Etadana Srije Purusha Sakala Samsara. Mahavishnu creates the entire material world with millions of his parts, energies, and incarnations. Shri Shri Radha Radha Shri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu Shri Giri Govardhana Ki. So now we're going to read verses 14 and 15, and then a couple perhaps of the following verses, which go into a little more detail about the position of Advaita Acharya. He is a plenary portion, a complete part of Mahavishnu. They are the same being in two forms, in other words. But there's also a little more to it. than that. So that is brought out, first of all, in verses 14 and 15, to which Srila Prabhupada gives a about 9 or 10 page purport. That's really a major purport, to say the least. Means there's a lot of depth here. There's really a lot of depth here. We're not going to read the whole purport. It's one of the biggest purports that Srila Prabhupada gives in any of his books. But let's just try to listen to the verse and let's listen to the verse. My Raiche Dui Amsha Nirita Upadana Maya Nirita Maya Nirita Hintu Upadana Pradana Purusha Ishvara Aiche Dui Murti Haiya Vishva Shristi Kare Nirita Upadana Lana. Just as the external energy consists of two parts, the efficient cause, nirmita, and the material cause, upadana, maya being the efficient cause, and pradana, the material cause, so Lord Vishnu, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, assumes two forms to create the material world with the efficient and material causes. So, yes. Anyway, let us read on. The efficient cause, the effective cause, and the material cause. Maya, and including Maya Devi, is the efficient cause, efficient, active, and very effective. And Pradana is the material cause. Pradana, of course, ultimately means the raw state of material nature, just elemental, even pre-elemental condition of material nature. When all the material elements are all just mixed up together, before Mahavishnu glances on them, then the state there is called pradana. It is like a great soup of matter. But then the Lord Mahavishnu glances on that soup, and the different elements, the different parts that make it up, become extracted and stand on their own, independent of the others. In other words, it is something like if you were to make a soup and video it, and play the video backwards, what would you get? You would begin, because you're playing it from the end, the conclusion. The conclusion is you have the soup, which is just everything is mixed together. But now you play it backwards, and gradually all the things which in the end are all just mashed up and mixed up together, they all start coming out separately until at the end, which is the beginning of the actual process, at the end of the video, there you've got certain vegetables and some water and some salt and pepper and some spices. All the ingredients are assembled. So the process of material creation in this regard happens in a reverse sense. that we begin with the soup, and then by the potency of the glance of the Lord, Lord Mahavishnu, his transcendental energy, all the different ingredients which are mixed up together, they now come out, and then they get distributed into each universe. So much earth, so much water, so much fire, etc., etc., in their individual states, in their individual positions. So let's carry on. Apane Purusha Vishnera Nimita Kalana Advaita Rupe Upadana Hana Narayana. Lord Vishnu himself is the efficient Nimita cause of the material world, and Narayan in the form of Sri Advaita is the material cause. Nivitamshe Kareteno Maita Ichana Upadana Advaita Karena Bhavanda Srijana. Lord Vishnu is the efficient aspect, glances over the material energy, and Sri Advaita, as the material cause, creates the material world. Nija Srishti Shakti Prabhu Sanchare Pradame Ishvarera Shakti Tame Hayeta Nirmane. The Lord infuses the material ingredients with his own creative potency. Means Mahavishnu glances, and everything becomes empowered by his glance. Then, by the power of the Lord, creation takes place. Advaita Rupe, Advaita Rupe Kari, Shakti Sanchanana, Ata Eva Advaita Hayena, Mukya Karana. In the form of Advaita, he infuses the material ingredients with creative energy. Therefore, Advaita is the original cause of creation. Advaita Acharya Koti Ramadera Karta Ara Eka Eka Murtye Ramadera Marta. Sri Advaita Acharya is the creator of millions and millions of universes, and by his expansions as Gaudiya Vishnu, he maintains each and every universe. So the whole chapter is describing the glories of Advaita Acharya. This is the basic idea, though, that he is Mahavishnu, but particularly he's Mahavishnu performing a certain function. Advaita Acharya performs the other function of glancing, the initial glance over the material nature. He, according to this description, is a little separate from that part of himself who is Advaita Acharya. Lord Mahavishnu glances and the material process begins, but then Advaita Acharya, he takes the process on further. And he sees that the whole process goes on so that the material ingredients are distributed to the universes. And then, according to this verse we just read, he then expands that particular part of Mahavishnu, who's Advaita Acharya, expands into every universe as Gaudiya Vishnu. So there you have it, you could say, in a nutshell, that Advaita Acharya is Mahavishnu, but particularly that part of Mahavishnu who is the material cause who takes the whole process of the creation of the material world on from the point that it reaches due to the direct intervention of Mahavishnu in his efficient feature, the feature which begins the process of material creation by the glands. That glands of Mahavishnu is something quite different from our glands. That glands of Mahavishnu is actually a person. That glands of Mahavishnu is Shambhu, one of the original forms of Lord Shiva. So, the Supreme Personality of Godhead is superior to us in every respect. And even in this regard, in our glances, we just look somewhere. But his glance is a person. And in his glance are all the living entities. In his glance is the Kala Shakti, the potency of time. In his glance is the Icha Shakti, the potency of his desire. His desire that the material world be created to give the living entities the opportunity to ultimately to become correct and then go back to Godhead. This is all the efficient cause or efficient aspect of Mahavishnu. So he glances on the Pradhan and the different ingredients come out, the different building blocks of the material nature come out, then from Mahavishnu's pores, the pores of his skin, come the universes. Then by the arrangement of Advaita Acharya, the ingredients are distributed to the different universes. The living entities are distributed to the different universes. And then Advaita Acharya expands himself as Garbhadaksha Vishnu to see that the whole process of creation goes on from that point. So this is, in a nutshell, this is Advaita Acharya. He's a very, very great person. As one of the verses said, that Advaita Acharya Gosani Sakshat Ishvara Yanharaya Mahima Nahe Jivira Gosara. Advaita Acharya is indeed directly the Supreme Personality of Godhead himself. His glory is beyond the conception of ordinary living beings. So the material scientists, with all their theorizing, their experimentation, and attempting to establish ultimately what is the material world, how it's come to be, how it's functioning, and then beyond that to control it, how we're going to become immortal in these beautiful material bodies of earth, water, fire, air, and ether. With these beautiful, subtle bodies of the mind, with all its anxieties and misconceptions and emotions and so many other things which get us into trouble on a regular basis in material life. We're going to make it all eternal. So, these creatively minded people, we doubt that through all their theorizing, experimentation, and making bigger and bigger telescopes to see deeper into the universe, and so on, we doubt that they're going to locate Gaudiya Vaishnava Vishnu. Although he's there, he's still there at the bottom of the universe. And the lotus flower coming from his navel is still there. And Lord Brahma is still sitting on top of it, which is Brahma Loka. So we doubt that these people are going to discover these things. And want to speak of discovering Advaita Acharya, who is the source of Gaudiya Vaishnava, and who himself, to enter the universes, he expands. Otherwise, he's outside of the universes, Advaita Acharya. He's outside the universes. To enter the universes and to see that the universes go on and develop as they should, for that purpose, Advaita Acharya, as part of Mahavishnu, he stays outside. So it's unlikely that they're going to discover Advaita Acharya. And therefore, Chaitanya Charitamrita says, Yanhara Mahima Nahe Jiva Gosham. His glory is beyond the conception of ordinary living beings. So this is Advaita Acharya, very important personality. And it's very interesting to note how Lord Chaitanya appeared 520 something, 30 almost years ago, Lord Chaitanya appeared, coming up for 529. So it's very interesting to see how he appeared. But he appeared, first of all, with Lord Nityananda, who was Lord Balaram. Then he appeared with Advaita Acharya, who is Mahavishnu. Then he appeared with Gadadhar, who is a very special type, extraordinary type of form of Srimati Radharani. And then he appeared with Narada Muni, who is the devotee. So the Panchatattva is a very special manifestation of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, that they specifically a unit working together. The same personalities appeared when Lord Krishna appeared. At least Narada Muni would visit from time to time. Radharani was there, of course. Mahavishnu was there, and Lord Balaram was there. Lord Balaram, of course, was very close to Krishna. They were working as a team a lot. But the others, they're there, but not grouped together as a very specific group. That the Lord, his appearance, should be appreciated in this context of the Panchatattva. These other forms of the Lord and Radharani and so on, they're all there and they're interacting in wonderful ways when Krishna appears, but not specifically grouped together as very specific manifestation of the Lord in different ways and his devotional energies. So in this sense, Advaita Acharya, he plays a prominent role in Lord Chaitanya's pastimes, particularly the pastimes, of course, in Navadvip. And then he would visit Lord Chaitanya in Jagannath Puri also. But particularly in Navadvip, Advaita Acharya plays a very prominent role in the pastimes. As we mentioned yesterday, He was a generation, or at least a generation, senior to Lord Chaitanya And he was the leader of the Vaishnava community at the time that Lord Chaitanya appeared. And Lord Chaitanya initially, he didn't manifest himself as a devotee, at least not so explicitly. From time to time he would manifest himself to certain individuals, but not openly, not until his father left this world. And then just shortly after that, Lord Chaitanya started manifesting himself. And then he joined the Vaishnava community, which was headed by Advaita Acharya. And Advaita Acharya, so Advaita Acharya was the leader. Lord Chaitanya took himself to be a new devotee. And of course he was at least a generation younger, 30 years younger, maybe even a little more, than Advaita Acharya. And so he always took the position of being the humble junior of Advaita Acharya, which irritated Advaita Acharya greatly. We spoke about that yesterday. One very interesting thing that happened, though, was that Lord Chaitanya, prior to his birth, Mother Sanchi gave birth to 7 other sons. Mother Sanchi, before Lord Chaitanya appeared, the first 6 of those sons passed away, because they are the Sadgarbha, or the 6 sons of Devaki and Vasudeva. So that was the allot to appear again, but again to just pass away. Then the 7th son of Mother Sachi and the 7th son of Devaki was Lord Balaram. So the 7th son, Lord Balaram, as the son of Mother Sachi, he successfully appeared as her son. And so he was the older brother of Lord Chaitanya. And his name was Vishwaroop. And Vishwaroop, unlike Lord Chaitanya, who as a child, as we said, kept his position extremely hidden, and rather manifested himself just as an extremely intelligent and very naughty Brahmin boy, but not really a devotee, generally. Not really at all a devotee. So, but Vishwaroop was different. Vishwaroop was a devotee from the outset. Even as a child, and gradually as he grew up through his youth, he was a devotee. And Vishwaroop, as a devotee, he became very attracted by Advaita Acharya, who was the leader of the devotees and just very charismatic and extremely knowledgeable and just a very amazing devotee, Advaita Acharya. So Vishwaroop became attracted by him, and he was never to be found at home, Vishwaroop. Even as a child, he would immediately, after school, he would just immediately go to Advaita Acharya's programs and only come back late at night. This was Vishwaroop. And eventually, when Vishwaroop was maybe 20-ish or maybe even in his late teens, something like that, Vishwaroop, being so inspired by Advaita Acharya, In a general sense, inspired in Christian consciousness, he decided to take sannyas. And he did. And he just left home very abruptly, without even saying goodbye or anything. The family just woke up the next morning and he was not there. And that was it. That was it. They never saw him again, practically never heard of him again. And Mother Sachi, she became extremely disturbed. And Jagannath Misha also. That was when they insisted that Lord Chaitanya marry, even though he was still young. And he was still quite young for marrying, but they insisted he marry because they wanted to sort of tie him down just in case he got some clever ideas from a better Acharya like his older brother did. So anyway, Mother Sachi, she didn't understand exactly what had happened, but she had a suspicion that the Advaita Acharya had encouraged Vishwaroop to leave home and take sannyas. She had a suspicion like that, and it was just, she really, like a conviction actually, she really felt that this Advaita Acharya, he has been the cause of this kind of partial breakup of our family. He is destructive. He is a negative influence. He is a negative personality. So she maintained, you could say, like a grudge against the Advaita Acharya. For some years, for some time, through the first marriage of Lord Chaitanya, then his father passed away, and then when he came back after performing the last rites for his father, then he manifested himself as a devotee, so it was a little later. And then he started coming close to Advaita Acharya. So some time passed since Vishwaroop leaving home taking sannyas and Lord Chaitanya manifesting himself and really developing a relationship as a devotee with Advaita Acharya. But Mother Sachi, she maintained this grudge for those some number of years. And Lord Chaitanya, at least when he manifested himself as a devotee, he didn't appreciate that. And one day, one night, after Lord Chaitanya manifested himself, then the program of having nocturnal kirtan through the night in the courtyard of Srinath Thakura and Srinath Sangam, it's called now, that practice developed, and all the devotees would go for the whole night, and Lord Chaitanya would go after he manifested himself as a devotee, and Mother Sachi would go too, because she was a devotee. She was a very great devotee. So one night, in the middle of that kirtan, Advaita Acharya, he started becoming very, very ecstatic in the kirtan, just overwhelmed altogether. And finally, he collapsed in the middle of the kirtan in an ecstatic trance, unconscious on the ground. Then Lord Chaitanya took Mother Sachi aside and told her, "Listen, you have to get the mercy of Advaita Acharya. Because you've been offending Advaita Acharya by blaming him for Vishwarup leaving home, although you don't understand why he took sannyas. You think Advaita Acharya was pushing him, preaching to him, and pushing him, you should take sannyas, go on. Who needs family life? You're assuming that, but you don't know. You don't know that Advaita Acharya did that. And the fact was that Advaita Acharya had not really been doing that. He had just been preaching Krishna consciousness in general. And Vishwarup, over the quite some number of years, had just becoming inspired by Krishna consciousness. And on that basis, he left over to sannyas. So Lord Chaitanya told Mother Sachi that you've been assuming like that, but it's wrong. It's an offense. It's a maha aparadha against a very, very important devotee. And actually, Lord Chaitanya told Mother Sachi, who is Devaki, who is Mother Yashoda, means with a big transcendental personality. But Lord Chaitanya told her, if you don't get his mercy, you'll fall down. Anyway, Lord Chaitanya said that. Perhaps not so like that, because she's the internal potency of the Lord. She's not marginal potency. But at the very least, for our edification, for our education, Lord Chaitanya, to show us how important it is to not offend devotees, any devotees that want to speak of the leading, prominent, very advanced devotees, like Advaita Acharya. So Lord Chaitanya warned her like that you have to get his mercy, otherwise you'll fall down and you'll be finished. So Advaita Acharya was still unconscious on the ground, just absorbed in total ecstasy due to the kirtan. So Lord Chaitanya told Mother Sachi, go, throw yourself at his lotus feet, get the dust of his lotus feet on your head. Normally, Advaita Acharya is a very strict devotee, would not let ladies, he wouldn't be very keen for anyone to touch his feet, but it was definitely not done that ladies would touch his feet or the feet of any male devotee. But Lord Chaitanya told her, go on, now. And Mother Sachi was hesitating, how can I do this? But Lord Chaitanya told her, go on, if you don't, you're finished. And she threw herself at the lotus feet of Advaita Acharya, full Pandavas, grabbed his feet, rubbed them on her head. And this way got the mercy of Lord Chaitanya, of Advaita Acharya, and then stood up. And as soon as she stood up, the Advaita Acharya immediately came out of the trance, came back to external consciousness, and wondered what happened. But it was already too late. Mother Sachi had done her deed and got his mercy. So the Advaita Acharya is a very special personality. And he had a very special relationship with Lord Chaitanya, as we discussed yesterday. He also had a very special relationship with Lord Nityananda. Lord Vishananda is not as old as Advaitacharya. He's about maybe 15, 16 years older than Lord Chaitanya, maybe 12 or 13. He's in between. So he's definitely in that sense senior to Lord Chaitanya in terms of birth or appearance, and closer to Advaitacharya in that sense. So Advaitacharya and Lord Vishananda, they had a very different relationship. With Advaitacharya, Lord Chaitanya was very respectful. As we mentioned yesterday, he would always immediately offer obeisances. But Lord Vishananda, with Advaitacharya, their relationship was friendly. And as happens sometimes between some friends, they would joke with each other, and sometimes you could say, pull each other's leg, as they say. And in that friendly, joking mood, sometimes criticize each other. So they're nice descriptions of Lord Chaitanya having lunch with Advaitacharya and Lord Vishananda. And when the Lord Chaitanya had just taken sannyas, and he wanted to go to Jagannath Puri, just go away, Lord Vishananda brought him back to the Navadvip area and to the house of Advaitacharya in Shantipur. And they had lunch, among many other things, they had lunch together. And Lord Chaitanya was having lunch, it was very nice. Advaitacharya and Lord Vishananda are having lunch with him and with each other, and everything was very nice. Suddenly, when all the food, while they're sitting waiting for lunch, when all the food, prasadam, came out, Lord Vishananda said, listen, I've been fasting for days, because he had brought Lord Chaitanya back. It took some time after he went when Lord Chaitanya took sannyas, and then he brought him back from Katwa, and it took it some distance. It took some time. So Vishananda Prabhu said, listen, I've been fasting for days, and today I was expecting to break my fast. But I can see that today is another fast day. Even though the prasadam is in front of him. Because look at this. You call this a plate of prasadam? It's barely a snack. A little appetizer. So this is very bad. And Buddha Vishnanda took some rice and threw it on the ground. And Advaitacharya chastised him. Don't you have any manners? What are you? You just appeared here now. You're some sort of wandering mendicant. We never saw you before. Who are you? I'm eating with some unknown person. You might be some low-caste person. And by my eating with you, I may lose my caste. So just mind your manners and be quiet and take prasadam. And Lord Vishnanda threw some rice at him. And they had a big argument with prasadam flying. We were not following their footsteps in that regard. But this was the relationship between Advaitacharya and Lord Vishananda. In a similar vein, immediately after the deliverance of Jagannath Madai, Lord Chaitanya with all the devotees and Jagannathai. First of all, they went and took bath in the Ganges. And everyone's taking bath very nicely. And then what should happen? Lord Nityananda splashed Advaitacharya in the face with water. And Advaitacharya started verbally abusing him. What do you think you're doing, you rascal, you uncivilized fellow? And splashed him back. And they had big water fights, shouting and splashing. This was the relationship between Advaitacharya and Lord Nityananda. Very different from the relationship between Lord Chaitanya and Advaitacharya. Now, in the beginning of the Adi-lila, chapter 12, in the beginning of chapter 12 of the Adi-lila of Chaitanya Charitamrita, which is titled The Expansions of Advaitacharya and Vedanta Pandit, there's some important verses about Advaitacharya and his family. Because Advaitacharya, he was a householder, and he had six sons. They were, let's see, anyway, yes, they were yes. So, Achyutananda, Krishna Misha, and Gopal Das. They became great devotees and followers of Lord Chaitanya. But then there were three other sons who were named. Let's see. One of them was Balaram. And let's see if I can find the names of the others. Anyway, there were three others. Six sons of Advaita Acharya. The names are here somewhere. One of them was Balaram. So now, the six... Oh no. Balaram, Swaroop, and Jagadish. So there were six sons of the Advaitacharya. Chaitananda, Krishna, Misha, and Gopal Das, they were great devotees of Lord Chaitanya. Then Balaram, Swaroop, and Jagadish, they were also devotees to some degree, but they never accepted Lord Chaitanya. Well, they accepted him, but not fully. And they felt that Advaitacharya is senior, and everyone should worship Advaitacharya, and Lord Chaitanya, that's okay, he's very nice. But everyone should follow Advaitacharya and focus on Advaitacharya. As a result of their offenses against Lord Chaitanya, Advaitacharya more or less rejected them, and they became Mayavadis. They became Mayavadis. Or some sort of very mixed up devotees with Mayavadi tendencies like that. So, you know, it's very interesting. He's the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He has six children, but three of them are not devotees. What to speak of ordinary people like ourselves people who may be household devotees, and they had children. You cannot just expect that because someone is born in a devotee family, or even in a family like the Major Acharyas, that they're just automatically going to become great devotees. This is one of the big misconceptions in the line of Lord Chaitanya. It's called Jati Gosai. Jata means by birth. Gosai means Goswami. Goswami by birth. Caste Brahman, caste Goswami. Just by birth. And it's assumed that just because they're born in a family, automatically they're very elevated. But obviously this is not the case, because these three sons of Major Acharya became deviant and rejected by him. So it's a very interesting part of Chaitanya Charitamrita. It begins with chapter 12, verse 8, and goes on for a few verses. Let us just read a little bit of it. So I'll just read the translations and some of the purports. At first, all the followers of the Advaita Acharya shared a single opinion. That is, we are devotees of Lord Chaitanya, under Advaita Acharya. But we are devotees of Lord Chaitanya. But later, they followed two different opinions, as ordained by Providence. It wasn't even just those three other sons. They had followers. And so there was a whole group which became rejected because they wouldn't accept Lord Chaitanya properly. So I'll continue reading a couple more verses and translations. Some of the disciples strictly accepted the orders of the Acharya, which in this context means Advaita Acharya, to worship Lord Chaitanya. Chaitanya Das Amuni, Chaitanya Das. This is what he would say about himself. I'm simply a servant of Lord Chaitanya. So some of the disciples strictly accepted the orders of the Acharya, and others deviated, independently concocting their own opinions under the spell of Divine Maya. The order of the spiritual master is the active principle in spiritual life. Anyone who disobeys the order of the spiritual master immediately becomes useless. There is no need to name those who are useless. I've mentioned them only to distinguish them from the useful devotees. So, Prabhupada, in the first of these verses which we read, verse 8, he gives a fairly extensive purport, it's a page and a half, in which he talks about how following this split in the followers of Lord Advaita Acharya, Prabhupada talks about how a similar sort of split happened in the movement of Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati, the spiritual master of Srila Prabhupada. Let's just read a bit of the purport here. Prabhupada says, the words Daivirankarana indicate that by dint of providence or by God's will, the followers of the Advaita Acharya divided into two parties. One party dedicated to Lord Chaitanya, the other party focusing on the Advaita Acharya and not worrying too much about Lord Chaitanya. And actually thinking that emphasis on Lord Chaitanya was not proper. It was wrong. So such disagreement among the disciples of Madhvacharya is also found among the members of the Gaudiya Mathas, the institution of Srila Bhaktisiddhanta, the spiritual master Srila Prabhupada. In the beginning, during the presence of all Vishnupad, Paramahamsa, Paramahacharya, Saraswati, Shishmad, Bhaktisiddhanta, Saraswati Thakur, Prabhupada, all the disciples worked in agreement, but just after his disappearance that they disagreed. One party strictly followed the instructions of Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, but another group created their own concoction about executing his desires. Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, at the time of his departure, requested all his disciples to form a governing body and conduct missionary activities cooperatively. He did not instruct a particular man to become the next Acharya. But just after his passing away, his leading secretaries made plans without authority to occupy the post of Acharya, and they split into two factions over who the next Acharya would be. Consequently, both factions were asara, or useless, because they had no authority, having disobeyed the order of the spiritual master. Despite the spiritual master's order to form a governing body and execute the missionary activities of the Gaudiya Mathas, the two unauthorized factions began litigation that is still going on after 40 years with no decision. Prabhupada says, Prabhupada continues, therefore, we do not belong to any faction. But because those two parties, busy dividing the material assets of the Gaudiya Mathas institution, stopped the preaching work, we took up the mission of Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur and Bhaktivinoda Thakur to preach the cult of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu all over the world under the protection of all the previous predecessor acharyas, and we find that our humble attempt has been successful. So, Prabhupada continues, it's more to the purport, but that is the basic theme that Prabhupada talks about, that he established the International Society of Krishna Consciousness because his spiritual master's mission had become severely divided and deviated from the actual mission, and just lost in a world of politics and separated from the real preaching mission. And in that way had become asara, or useless. And Krishna's Kaviraj Goswami, in the verse itself, he talks about how the other party of the followers of Vaitracharya, who lost the focus on Lord Chaitanya and developed some other idea, they became useless. They became asara. And therefore one must follow the instructions of the spiritual master to avoid becoming useless. In our case, this means particularly we have to follow the instructions of Srila Prabhupada and continue his preaching mission, following in the footsteps of Advaita Acharya himself and his actual desire, and not get mixed up with any of the other groups, and they sort of go through different permutations as a whole. It's a real mix-up, actually. It's a major sort of kitchery gone wrong. So we should not be involved with them, but just stick with the group of Srila Prabhupada and focus on the mission of Srila Prabhupada, which is the mission of Lord Chaitanya, which is the mission of the Vaitracharya. And in this way, we can be successful in spreading Krishna consciousness all over the world, and we can please Advaita Acharya. In this way, make real progress and benefit the world by the mercy of Srila Prabhupada under the shelter of Advaita Acharya, Hare Krishna. Vibhu Prabhu, it's 9 o'clock, should we just stop?
There's no breakfast, any questions?
Okay, any comments or questions? Madhavangal Prabhu, loud and clear. It's a bit strange. Come closer or? Okay, take a look.
Could Srila Prabhupada ever allow other golden masters to come and give a class or discourse in the temple?
No.
Without related to them?
No.
Even though everything is 69 or something?
There were some ceremonial occasions where he invited a group of them, like when they laid the foundation stone in Mayapur. But otherwise, you know, just on a regular basis, he never invited them, and rather the opposite, he told us to never invite them. So we don't. And if anyone does, they're making an important mistake. Any other comment or question? Yes, Mr. Sarika.
I believe that in Chantipur, Advaita Acharya's descendants are there.
That's right.
Yeah.
14th generation, descended from Balaram, one of the deviant sons. At least that's what the 13th descendant I spoke to once, many years ago. And I asked him which son of the Advaita Acharya he descended from, and he said Balaram, who unfortunately is one of the three wrong ones. So anyway, such is life in the material world. Up around the bend,
yeah. Thank you very much for explaining those very complex points, especially in the beginning, subtle points about the position of Advaita Acharya. We hear like in the Vaikuntha Lokas, there are also different forms, the Vaikuntha Lokas are different forms of Vishnu. So would Advaita Acharya also have his kind of Vaikuntha Loka, or would he be?
He's with Lord Chaitanya in Navadvip, which is part of Goloka Vrindavan. Otherwise, you know, he's part of Mahavishnu. Mahavishnu doesn't have a planet in the spiritual world. He's part of Sankarshan, Mahasankarshan. So in that context, he has a place in the Vaikuntha realm as part of Mahasankarshan, who has a planet. But otherwise he's present as Advaita Acharya in Navadvipa, Goloka Vrindavan. Yes?
It sounds like the explanation you're giving that the scientists have,
the idea that we have is closer to their idea than what the Christians are. You probably mentioned they talk about creation, that's maybe all that was created from nothing. The scientists have that idea of soup, and they just don't know where the lines came from. But it seems like their idea is at least closer to us than just being created from nothing. We don't have that experience.
It may be a bit, not that much closer.
No.
at least listen to that.
So this way, the Christian's idea is farther away.
Yes,
from both.
It would seem to me.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, they don't have a clear idea of this, of there being a process leading up to life manifesting species coming into being and starting their lives. It's more just like pop. They just appear. Because there are many different ideas, and many scientists don't accept a soup idea. Many. Yeah. It's not that it's a universal sort of point accepted by all the scientists that there was a soup, although some accept.
Experience of
being
created from nothing.
Not a lot. Any other comment or question? Another look at me.
Maharaj mentioned the glance of Mahavishnu, the chakra. We also know that the glance of Mahavishnu is Sudarshan. How do
you know this? Sudarshan?
Sudarshan chakra. I read somewhere in the
9th
canto.
Is it? I don't recall seeing that. I'll have a look. Or maybe you can send me the place. Srila Prabhupada ki. Shri Advaita Acharya ki.
In that spot in my pursuit, weren't you?
On the 28th. 2 days.